In 16th century England, Oliver Cromwell ordered that a soldier be shot for his crimes. His execution was to take place at the ringing of the evening bell. But that night, at the fateful hour, no sound came from the belfry. The girl, who was to be married to the condemned man, had climbed up into the tower and clung to the great clapper of the bell to prevent it from striking. Brought before Cromwell to give an account for her actions, she only wept and showed him her bruised and bleeding hands. Cromwell was greatly impressed, and he said, "Your lover is alive because of your sacrifice. He will not be shot." The Bible says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sins." The story is told of Steinberg, the artist, struck with the beauty of a young gypsy girl. He took her to his studio and frequently had her sit for him. At the time, he was working on his masterpiece entitled Christ on the Cross. The girl watched him work on the painting. One day she said to him, "He must have been a very bad man to be nailed to a cross like that." "No," said the artist. "On the contrary, he was a very good man, the best man who ever lived. He died for others." The little girl looked up at him and asked, "Did he die for you?" Steinberg was not a Christian at the time, but the gypsy girl's question touched his heart and awakened his conscience, and he became a believer in Him whose dying passion he had so well portrayed. My friend, when Jesus died on the cross, He died for you. Oh, how we pray that you will appreciate that death and today accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. The Bible says, "God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In a large community a number of years ago, the street railway system took its passengers past a cemetery called Calvary Cemetery. On approaching that station stop, the conductor called out, "Next stop, Calvary. Train stops on signal only. Anybody for Calvary?" Friend, are you interested in pausing today at Calvary? It is the place where sins can be forgiven forever. Officer Peter O'Henman was patrolling one night during night duty in a northern city of England some years ago when he heard a boy sobbing. Turning in the direction from which it came, he saw in the shadows a little fellow sitting on the doorstep. With tears running down his cheeks, the child whimpered, "I'm lost. Take me home." The policeman began naming street after street to try to determine where he lived. When that failed, he repeated the names of the stores and hotels in the area, but all without success. Then he remembered that in the center of the city was a well-known church with a large white cross towering high above the surrounding landscape. He pointed to it and said, "Do you live anywhere near that cross?" The boy's face immediately brightened. "Yes, sir, I do. Take me to the cross. I can find my way home from there." Dear listener, many a weary sinner has come by faith to Calvary's cross, acknowledged their sin, accepted the Lord Jesus as Savior, and found their way home to heaven through His atoning work on the cross of Calvary. Among the many interesting stories told in connection with a search for gold in the Klondike is one which impressed me. A prospecting party penetrated far into the country and came upon a miner's hut. All without was very quiet. Entering the cabin, they found the skeletons of two men and a large quantity of gold. On a rough table was a letter telling of their successful search for the precious metal. In their eagerness to get it, they forgot the early coming of winter in that northern land. Each day, the gold was found in more abundance. One morning, they awoke to find a great snowstorm was upon them. For days, the tempest raged, cutting off all hope of escape. Their little store of food was soon exhausted, and they lay down and died amidst their gold. Their folly was not in finding and gathering the gold, but in neglecting to provide against the inevitable winter. Isn't it sad when men and women become so absorbed with business and the gathering together of property that they forget to provide for their own precious soul? The Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Bible teacher William McCarroll often used this illustration to point out what a person has to do to be saved. While Andrew Jackson was president of the United States, a man was given a court trial and then condemned to die. President Jackson offered to pardon a man, but he refused the pardon. Prison authorities, the Attorney General of the United States, and others earnestly endeavored to convince the man to accept the pardon. They tried to impress upon him that it would not only spare his life, but that if he did not accept the pardon, it would be an insult to the president. The man persisted. The Attorney General consulted the Supreme Court, asking whether legal authorities could force the man to receive the pardon. The court ruled that the pardon was merely a printed statement until the man accepted it. If he rejected the pardon, it would remain merely printed matter. The man must die. The story is told of a convict who had been in prison for a number of years. Finally, he received a pardon from the king. When the time came for him to be released, he walked boldly to the prison gate and said with confidence, "Me and the king say you have to open the doors and set me free." He then produced the papers signed by the monarch. His identification with the king guaranteed his freedom. Friend, identification with the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior, will assure you of a pardon not for time, but for eternity. A young man went with great concern to a gospel preacher, saying, "Sir, can you tell me what I must do to find peace? What I must do to be saved?" The response was simply this: "Young man, you're too late." "Oh," said the young fellow, "you don't mean to say I'm too late to be saved?" "Oh, no," was the reply, "but you are too late to do anything about it.
You see,
Jesus died for sinners, and Jesus died for you 20 centuries ago.
Friend, in dying for that young man, he died as well for you.
Mr. Klein was discouraged, defeated, and convinced that life just was not worth living because no one cared for him. One Sunday, he walked past the church when the service was in progress. As the congregation was singing, he caught the words. It was a familiar theme. Saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me. His hearing, however, was not the best. So, when the congregation came to the words again, Jesus died for all mankind, he thought they said, Jesus died for old man Klein. Why, he said, that's me. Stopping in his tracks, he turned and entered the small building. There he heard the simple message of the gospel as it was presented, and the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Mr. Klein believed and was gloriously saved. Some time ago, during one of the severe storms that visits Colorado, a young man perished in sight of home. In his bewilderment, he passed and repassed his own cottage to eventually lie down and die, almost in range of the lights from the window. Lights that had been placed there by his young wife, hoping to guide him home. All alone, she watched through that long night, listening in vain for footsteps that would come. But none came. The morning dawned. The icy touch of death had forever stilled that warm and loving heart. The sad death was made still sadder by the fact that he was lost in sight of home. My friend, if you're wandering from God today, I pray you will not be lost just a short distance from home, but that today you will accept the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved and died for you. My friend, God loves you. As a sinner, you are far from him today, but be assured of this, he loves you, and that his son died for your sins on Calvary's cross. Now, he freely offers you everlasting salvation. Will you accept salvation today from the one who said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If we can help you learn more of God's love and his plan of salvation, I invite you to write to the Family Bible Hour, Box 494, St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, L2R6V9. Now, this is Arnott McEntee, reminding you now is the day of salvation.